Now let's see if we can test this new conception of the soul against tradition. Even though we are accustomed to using religious language about the soul, its duties are useful, not poetic. This fact has been hard to realize because the word soul has been used loosely to mean a person's deepest emotions, his heart, his highest aspirations, as well as more arcane things like the Holy Ghost. In the Bible, where the word soul is used hundreds of times, we find that it goes through every struggle of life. In the Old Testament, we hear a lot about the peril of the soul. Satan wants to grab it. The enemies of Israel want to destroy it. Famine and illness make the soul heavy, and always there is the plea. This is heard over and over in the Psalms, for God to give balm and solace to the soul. Jehovah is fickle, however, and he can seem to betray even those souls offered up to him. The book of Job begins with God and the devil gambling with the soul of a righteous man who feared God and set his face against wrongdoing. For no other reason than to test him, God allows Satan to inflict any harm he wishes against Job except to touch his person. Job's travails with sickness, poverty, family misfortune, and social rejection describe a condition of suffering that was familiar to the Hebrews and later to the Christians. The fact that God never again speaks in the Bible is an ominous afternote. The soul has been left to survive its tests alone. The New Testament continues the same drama, but more in terms of salvation and redemption. Since Jesus offers an explicit promise of an afterlife, going to heaven is the goal of the soul, and escaping damnation is its greatest challenge. In all this turmoil, one senses that the soul travels through life undergoing every anxiety felt by the person. It isn't aloof or apart, but very much down here in the mud of battle. The paradox is that throughout this highly emotional involvement, no biblical writer ever defines what the soul is. As a result, the word remains as diffuse in the end as it was at the outset. If I say to you, "My soul was touched," or "I mean this from the bottom of my soul," or "that person has a lot of soul," nothing specific is being conveyed. I would venture that the sacred masters, whatever religion they are associated with, were trying to be quite specific. In their awareness, the soul meant something much like what we have been describing, a connection between the world of the five senses and a world of inconceivable things, like eternity, infinity, omniscience, grace, and every other quality of the unmanifest. Parables are basically coded stories about the soul and its function. In other words, they take an abstraction, like the unmoving starts to move, or the immortal pretends to be born, and express it in language that is much more understandable. Some parables are so simple that we hardly realize their spiritual meaning. Every child has heard about the 6 blind men and the elephant. Each blind man grabs a different part of the beast. The blind man who grabs the leg says, "An elephant is very like a tree." The one who grabs the trunk says, "An elephant is very like a snake." The one who grabs the tail says, "An elephant is very like a rope," and so forth. Originally, the story had to do with the 5 senses and the mind being unable to grasp the nature of God. The moral being, that divine reality, was too vast to be understood by thought, sight, sound, touch, or taste. Other interpretations hold that the blind men are the branches of Vedic philosophy, which in all their specialized learning cannot grasp the wholeness of Brahman, the one and all. Jesus told 39 parables and delivered the morals himself. The first one is in the 5th book of Matthew. "You are light for all the world. A town that stands on a hill cannot be hidden. When a lamp is lit, it isn't put under a bushel basket, but on the stand, where it gives light to everyone in the house. And you, like the lamp, must shed light among all men, so that when they see the good you do, they may give praise to your Father in heaven." On the surface, this parable is so simple that it hardly needs to be interpreted. The phrase, "don't hide your light under a bushel basket," means that virtue should be seen so it can have a good effect. But the word light has a deeper meaning spiritually, in the sense of awakened awareness. And therefore, this is also a parable about the soul. Jesus is saying that like a lamp hidden under a basket, the body hides the soul. He tells the disciples not to let this happen, but to allow the soul's awareness to manifest itself. In other words, live from the soul level if you expect other people to believe that you are connected to God. For when they see that you are, they will believe it of themselves as well.